Right now on Robin Hood Radio, we're going to be joined by a special guest, and we're going to be talking about a program that is coming up at the Carey Institute, and it's coming up on Thursday, September 16th, from 7 to 8 o'clock. It's a virtual event. It's free. You have to register, and you can register by going to careyinstitute.org. When you're there, if you actually go to careyinstitute.org/events/wildfire-western, just go there because they have a link to it. And also, by the way, once we get this interview done and up posted on our on-demand page, robinhoodradio.com, click on on-demand, click on interviews, you'll see the interview that we're going to have with Winslow, and we will have all the links for you to register and all the information in written form. But right now, from the Carey Institute, let us welcome in Winslow Hansen. Winslow, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
For the past, I'll say, month and a half, I don't address what we have to do to stop climate change anymore in our country and in the world. I've basically come to the fact and announcing to everybody that the debate is over. We are already seeing what has happened because of climate change. Now we have to learn to adapt it. And that's why when the press release came over from the Carey Institute, wildfires in the western U.S. causes consequences and adaption, I just thought it fit right in because this is something that can really highlight and I think have people understand that we no longer can put off what has happened. We now have to deal with it. And the first case we deal with it right now with what your Zoom event talks about is wildfires.
Yeah, that's correct. So there are many consequences of climate change that we're experiencing in the United States, but one of the major ones that we see every season is wildfires. And the science is very clear that there are strong links between human-caused climate change and increases in the frequency and the area burned by wildfires and even the severity of those fires. So, for example, since 1984, we've seen a 1,100% increase in the area burned by wildfires across the western United States.
That's amazing. And you know what's interesting about this is that there used to be fire seasons, just like there's hurricane season, tornado alley. But now these events are happening outside those normal boundaries.
That's absolutely right. We're seeing the fire season extend from April well into November and even December now. And it's driven by a couple things. So first, climate change is extending the shoulder seasons in which forests can carry fire because we have lower snowpacks that allow fuels to dry out more quickly. But also more people are living in what we call the wildland-urban interface. This is the area where homes are interspersed with forests. And people are starting many more fires in those shoulder seasons because before people started fires, lightning was the primary cause. And there are very specific seasons in which lightning occurs across the western United States.
We're speaking right now with Winslow, we're talking about what's going on there. Winslow Hansen is a forest ecologist. You are right at Carey Institute.
That's right. Yeah, I'm an assistant scientist at the Carey Institute.
So let's talk a little bit about this event itself on the 16th from 7 to 8 o'clock. Once again, you can register virtually at careyinstitute.org. Who are your panelists? What are they going to each specialize in? And are people going to be able to ask questions? Is there going to be a session after or during presentation? I mean, how is this going to work?
Yeah, thanks for the question. So we have a great group of panelists. We're really grateful for them to share their time. So we have myself, and then I'll be joined by Dr. Phil Higuera, who's a fire ecologist at the University of Montana. He brings a strong perspective on how fires have changed over the last several thousand years. And then we'll also be joined by a natural resource sociologist, Dr. Katrine Edgley from Northern Arizona University. She really specializes in the social science of fire and how human communities can and should adapt to fire over coming decades. The event is going to be about 45 minutes of of just us kind of talking about different aspects of this challenge, the large fire crisis. So Phil will talk about how fires are changing, why they're changing, and how they may change in the future. I'll be talking about the ecological consequences of increased fire. So what does it mean to our forests? What does it mean to the ecosystem services that we rely on? And Katrina Edgley will be focusing on how human communities can adapt and what we can do about it to try to live more sustainably with fire. There will be time at the end for audience questions. It will be a period where people can submit their questions, and we'll try to answer as many as we can. And then we also may be able to provide written answers to the questions we don't get to within the event. So I'd really encourage people to attend and come with their questions.
What makes this even more interesting, Winslow, is that the fact this summer, for about a week and a half to 2 weeks, our skies were basically blotted out by smoke from these fires out west.
That's absolutely right. You're spot on. So, you know, any time in July, you may have gone out and seen the sky be unusually red, and that's smoke from western fires that can travel for thousands of miles. You know, living here in the Northeast, it can feel like these fires are a world away, but increasingly the impacts are going to be real. So whether it's the health consequences of increasing smoke as we see more and more fires settle in the Northeast, and even the potential for forests to start burning around here, you know, it doesn't take a large fire to affect people's homes and property, and there is the potential for, you know, slightly more fire to start occurring on the landscapes around us here.
And when we look at the fires and how they start and how many fires there are now, I guess my question to you is, I know we now have to deal with with what goes on with extreme weather. We have to, the cities across this country that are port cities have to find some ways to adapt to what you saw happen in New York, what you saw happen in New Orleans. Well, we can go on and on. That's bad enough, but how do you really, there's so many things you have to adapt to and change because so many people live in fire-prone areas now. How do we adapt and how do we really move forward on this?
Yeah, it's really an evolving science, and some of the steps you can take at multiple scales. So as an individual homeowner, clearing defensible space around your property if you live in fire-prone areas is essential. So that means clearing out the brush and the trees that might be right next to your home, because that can really help your home survive if a fire comes up. And at larger scales, I think we need to really invest in supporting fire and forest managers to take the actions that they can proactively. So doing prescribed burns, clearing fuels in the landscapes where that makes sense. We spend a huge amount of money in suppressing fires, but that comes at the cost of taking proactive action that might reduce the severity of fires in the future. And then another key step, you know, you mentioned in the beginning, you no longer talk about climate change and reducing emissions, but I think it's important to realize that the collective action that we take in the next few decades in terms of the emissions that humanity puts out into the atmosphere is going to determine our fate with the large fire crisis. If we are able to reduce emissions and stay within what we're hoping to in terms of warming with the Paris Climate Accord, then we're going to have really different outcomes in terms of fire than if we follow a high emissions scenario with up to 5.5 degrees of global warming. There's going to be a lot more fire on the landscape in that world. And so we have to make the decisions today to reduce those emissions.
Well, the reason I say that is that for so long now, I'm 68 years old, and for 15, 20 years, we've heard we have to prepare for climate change. It's coming. There's a certain date where things just, you know, there's no longer preparing for it. It's reacting to it. And it just doesn't seem like people in this country, or I'll even say in a lot of the world, they just don't understand the gravity of the crisis that affects us now, but what it's going to be like in 20 years.
Yeah, it can be really hard to comprehend the magnitude of change over that kind of time period. You know, fire, even in 20 years from now, is going to look fundamentally different from what it is today, in terms of a lot more area burned. But I, you know, I have a lot of optimism. There, within the younger generations, there is a growing understanding and a strong activism in terms of trying to initiate social change to fight climate change. And so my hope is that this younger generation will be heard and that we will take the steps that we need to really be able to thrive over the next century.
Well, I hope you're right, Winslow. But you know, we've been seeing everything politicized, and climate change and the fires are all part of that. And what I really fear is the people that are trained to fight these fires have had to adapt themselves very quickly over the past 4 or 5 years, so they can continue doing the job as safely as they possibly can.
That's right. Absolutely. I can't even comprehend the difficulty of their job and the dangers that they face. And so we need to do everything we can to support our firefighters and to make sure that they're protected. And if that means that, you know, some fires can't be suppressed, that we have to let them burn, then so be it. And that's part of the adaptation that we're all responsible for, is to take as many proactive steps as we can, because not only could that impact the characteristics of fires, but it really could help firefighter safety, which is just essential.
Well, once again, Thursday, September 16th, at 7 o'clock, it's a virtual event at the Cary Institute, Wildfire in the Western U.S., Causes, Consequences, and Adaptation. There will be a panel discussion. Winslow will be there from the Cary Institute and other specialists and panelists, and there will be time for questions, and you can register at caryinstitute.org. But you can also go, once this interview is over, to our on-demand page, robinhoodradio.com on demand. Click on the interviews and click on the interview that we have with Winslow, and all the links are there for you to register. Winslow, thanks for taking a few minutes and joining us today. And everything that you do and all the programs that you bring in at the Cary Institute, we are so lucky to have you so close by and keep people updated, informed, and in action.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, and that's very kind of you to say about the Cary Institute. It's a wonderful place, and we're trying our best.
All right, Winslow. Have a great weekend, all right?
Yeah, you too. Take care.
Take care. The CaryInstitute.org, once again, on the web.